So, good to be here again. This is an interesting situation here. It reminds me of a church I was in Germany one time where they were trying to get the message across that the worship service was not just about the people up front entertaining the people there, but it was your service. They were trying to communicate that, and they came up with the idea of decentralizing the worship band. So they had the worship band scattered over across the whole room. You had a guitar over here and drums over here and piano over there. It was a nightmare for the sound man, but it was really cool. And they had the chairs all around the room, so the pulpit was in the middle of the room like this, but you had people over here and then you had people behind you. And I thought that was really cool, because if the people here weren't really listening to you, you just turn over here. you always had your pick, you know. So if I go over here, you know, I mean, so, but it's good to be here. And that was from Psalm 68, as you can tell, and I'm going to read something there in a little bit from Psalm 68 again. But turn to your Bibles, if you will, to Numbers chapter 21. Numbers chapter 21. This is the children of Israel in their wilderness wanderings, and they've been through many different situations. But now it says in verse 16, Numbers chapter 21, verse 16, from there they went to Beer. They didn't really go to get a beer. It's pronounced Beer, and it means the well. From there they went to Beer, which is the well, where the Lord said to Moses, gather the people together, and I will give them water. Now they had been to different places in the wilderness where they had been thirsty, where they needed water. Water is not a luxury. Water is something that we need. It's not good to go without water. You can go without 3 days without water, but after that, it gets very serious situation. You need water. Water is not something that is a luxury. It's a necessity of life. And they were out of water in the desert. And I've been in the desert in Nevada without water. And it's amazing what happens to your mind. I actually did have a mirage where I saw a river in the desert in Nevada. But they were without water, and God had given them on different occasions, miraculously, water out of the rock. One time Moses was told to beat the rock, hit the rock with his staff, and this was a picture of the cross. Paul says later on, Christ was that rock. And out of that rock flows the water, because out of the crucified Savior is where we get everything that we need. But Jesus was only crucified once. He only needed to be crucified once. After that, he was raised from the dead and seated at the right hand of God. And so the next time that the children of Israel needed water, God said to go to the rock and speak to the rock. He didn't need to hit the rock again, because the rock had already been hit at the cross. And the cross is not repeated, so Moses was supposed to speak to the rock, and out of the rock would flow water. We don't have to hit the rock. We don't have to. Jesus doesn't have to be crucified every time we need something. We just speak to the rock. And out of the rock still flows the water of life. But now here they are again. They need water again. See, because we can't just have water every once in a while. We need a continual flow. And I believe, and we believe, that God is challenging his people all over the earth, that this is a time of a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit yesterday is not sufficient for today. We need a fresh move of the Spirit. We need a fresh outpouring of the Spirit. And people are thirsty all over the world. There's people in this room that are thirsty for more of God. They're not satisfied with what they have until now. The people, they were crying out to God for a new outpouring of the Holy Spirit, but I believe God wants to take us a step further, like He took the children of Israel here, not just to cry out to God in despair for a move of the Spirit or a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit, but here it says they came to this place where God said, "Gather the people, and I will give them water." I think that this is a time when it's more important than ever that God's people gather. Actually, this is in our DNA to gather. That's what we are. That's what the church is, a gathering. Without you, I am not church. I am just me. I am a temple of the Holy Spirit, but when we come together, God builds us together as a holy temple in the Lord, as a habitation for God through by His Spirit. I love to praise God by myself. I sit in my office very often and just sit in there and sing to the Lord by myself, and I enjoy that, but there's nothing more powerful than when God's people get together and worship the Lord, where we're focused upon the Lord. Focus is the key word. A laser beam is focused light. You can take light, you can turn on a light, it will light up the room, but there's not much power in it. But if you take concentrated light, focused light, which is a laser beam, you can cut through walls of steel. God is getting His people together, focused on Him, to break through the bars of the iron bars of darkness that are keeping the treasures in darkness from coming into the kingdom of God. It's a time for a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit. So it's a time like never before for us to gather. One of the things that we're doing now in Germany is going to different places and gathering the people of God in the cities, bringing them together. We've been meeting with a group of leaders, apostolic-minded people. And we're meeting together to pray, seek God. And we came up with the strategy from the Holy Spirit to gather the people in different cities in the area that we're living in. And believing God for a breakthrough in our region, because we believe if you can get a breakthrough in one region, it's a breakthrough for every region. A breakthrough for you is a breakthrough for me. I don't care where the breakthrough is, because if you break through, I break through too. I believe God wants to break through in this place. I believe London is a strategic city in the world. And I believe you are in a strategic place. You might look at yourself, you might look around the room, and you might say, "Who are we?" Well, let me tell you who you are. You are the people that are there. Because Jesus appeared to more than 500 people of His disciples. And He said, "Gather in Jerusalem and I will give you water. Gather the people and I will give you water. I will open up the gates of heaven. I will open up the windows of heaven. I will," just like we saw in this picture, there's a picture of a lion on top of a waterfall, and all of a sudden that water starts gushing out. Jesus told more than 500 people, "Gather in Jerusalem, and I will pour out my Spirit upon you. I will give you water." Only 120 showed up. They could have looked around and said, "This is not enough." God could have said, "Where are all the people? I'm not going to do it. Nobody showed up at my party." He took 120 people, because who were the 120 people? They were the people that showed up. They were the ones that were there. God is looking for those that will be there, that will show up. He's looking for the ones that will faithfully carry the ark, faithfully carry the presence, faithfully open their hearts and open their mouths and be the ones that God can light upon, that He can pour out His Spirit upon. Because on the day of Pentecost, 120, if there would have been 119, the Holy Spirit would have come. If there would have been 110, if there would have been 10, the Holy Spirit would have come. And who would have those 10 be? Those 10 would have been the 10 that were there. That's who God is looking for. He's looking for the ones that will show up. And if it's 10, if it's 20, if it's 50, if it's 100, if it's 110, if it's 500, it doesn't matter, because God is going to move upon those that are there. But the glorious thing is this, that those 120 that were there, they opened up the gate so that 3,000 more came in. And then 5,000. And then every day someone was added. You can look around the room and you can look at each other and you can say, what a motley crew. That's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking, there's not many mighty among you. Hey, you are in great company. Because Paul, when he said to the Corinthians, there's not many wise among you. There's not many mighty among you. He then reflected that. He then used that to talk about the cross, which for the Jews is a stumbling block, and for the Greeks it's foolishness. But to those that are being saved, Christ crucified is both the wisdom and the power of God. You're in great company. If you feel like nothing, you're in great company. If you feel insufficient, because Paul said, who is sufficient for these things? Certainly not us. Because we are convinced that if anything is coming from us, it is the exceeding greatness of the power of God and not of ourselves. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. Hallelujah. We may not be much, but we're there. I can remember when Kay and I first came to Germany, and we were a motley crew, not just us two, but our whole staff, our whole team was a team. We could have called ourselves the Motley Crew. And we had a man, a guest there. He was someone that we knew from our Bible school days in Dallas, Texas. His name was Chuck Flynn. He was a prophetic man, and he was as gentle as you could be. He would never, Kay's father used to say, he would never hurt a fly. And he said he was giving a prophetic word to Bob, Kay's father, who was the leader of the whole work back then, giving him a prophetic word. And this kind man, he was looking at us, and he whispered in Bob's ear. He said, God has given you he couldn't find a kind word for it, you know. He was looking at it, and I wanted to reach over and whisper, a motley crew, see? Because that is exactly what we were. But who were we? We were the ones that were there. We were the ones that came. We were the ones that said yes to God. I remember hearing Reinhard Bonnke say that God told him once, you weren't my first choice. But look what God has done with that man. Why? Because he was the one that was there. God is gathering people together, the ones that will come, the ones that will be there, the ones that will not just come through the door, but they come and they stand before God and they open their hearts and they lift up their hands and they lift up their voices and they raise a shout to God. A shout of praise, a shout of triumph. Yes, yay. That's I'll work with that. But then it says, gather the people, and I will give them water. Say, God, we have a promise here of a great, fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Because people are thirsty all over the world. And this is what they did. Then all Israel, I love this. Then all Israel sang this song. Because the first time at the rock, it was Moses that hit the rock and water flowed out for the people of Israel. The second time, Moses was supposed to speak to the rock, but it was Moses. And water flowed out of the rock and the people of Israel drank from the water. But this time, the whole congregation of Israel sang this song. Because I believe this is a day when it's when God is saying, I mean, God has been saying this for all eternity, but he's emphasizing it now. It's not the time to watch. It's not the time to be a spectator. It's not the time to let the worship team do all the work. I've been in situations where I was leading worship and I mean, I'm like, I turn liquid. I was sweating like crazy and working the whole night. And finally, about 2 hours later, the people decided they wanted to keep on singing. I had been doing all the work that evening, but now they finally got broken through and they wanted me to keep going. I said, you can keep going by yourself. I've had it. But I've been in other situations where I started to lead the worship. We had a situation one time in our Bible school in Germany. We had about 600 people in a conference. And these people, the congregation was singing so loud that we couldn't hear the instruments anymore on the platform. We had it turned up all the way and we couldn't hear it anymore. The sound man was having a fit because everything was just going into the red. And he was afraid he was going to blow out the speaker, so we just said, cut it off. And he turned off all the power and no one noticed it. That's what I call participation. I led worship one time in a conference in Germany where the guy that was leading the conference that night, he wanted to give a speech, but he was all dressed up and he had all of his notes and everything. And every time he tried to talk, he burst out laughing. He couldn't say a word. And finally, after about 15 minutes of struggling to try to say something, he turns around to me and he says, well, this is the only thing he could say the whole night. He said, well, let's praise the Lord. And when he said that, there was about 1,000 people at this conference, the whole bunch of people, the whole congregation sprang to their feet and started praising God. And the amazing thing of it is that they just kept going and going and going. And I was leading the worship that night, but not really, because they just kept going and going and going. And about 1 o'clock in the morning, I turned around to one of the guys and said, I'm not responsible for this anymore. So I said, I have to get some sleep. I went home. I went back to the hotel and went to sleep. I heard, though, that they kept going until around 4 o'clock in the morning. That's every worship leader's dream. That the people take off without them. That the musicians stop and the people just keep on going. Because they're not waiting for the next song. They're not there to be entertained. They're gathered to the Lord to worship Him and to give Him the glory and let Him pour out His water of life. Not only on us, but on us and then through us into this world. Because we live in a world that is desperately thirsty for the water of life. And in the last days, the call goes out where the Spirit and the Bride say, come. The Spirit and the Bride saying, come. The Bride joins its heart to the call of the Spirit because the call of the Spirit is going out throughout the whole world. Come and drink the water of life freely. There's a well of the water of life. And as we gather and the whole congregation, everyone is there and everyone is full of God, full of the Holy Spirit, full and focused and reaching out to Him and praising Him and worshiping. God pours out His Spirit. We were in a church here in England just recently where the whole congregation was like a team. It was a small group of people, but everyone was there. Everyone. And when we were worshiping God one night, I was standing up in the front, but it sounded to me like there was about 1 million people in that room. Because it was the sound of rushing waters and loud peals of thunder. The whole congregation of Israel sang this song, spring up, O well, all of you sing to the well. This is a time of singing to the source of the water of life because there's only one source, and that is God, the living God. Sing to the well. Spring up, O well. All of you sing to it. All of you sing to the source of the water of life. And then verse 18, it says, the well that the leaders sank, dug by the nation's nobles, by the lawgiver with their staves. Kay and I wrote an article in English and it was translated into German. And we used this translation. And the German translator thought it said that the leaders sank into the well. I was upstairs and Kay was downstairs with the translator, and I never heard my wife laugh so hard in all her life. The leaders sank into the well, and the nobles came and dug them out by their staffs. I'll never get over that. But this was the well that the leaders sank. Because this is a day when God's leaders have to lead from the front. They can't lead from the back. In other words, people are thirsty all over the place. But one thing I like about Dot and Les, they love to pray and they love to worship God. And that's why worshipers are drawn. That's why people come to this place, because they want to worship God, because you have people that are out in front worshiping God. That's what's important to them. That's why they came to London. That's how this whole thing started, with a prayer meeting in Soho. They got together, they got God's people together that would come and to worship God and to open up that well, to sink a well. And the nobles, that they dug, the nation's nobles dug this well, and they used their staffs. The staffs speaking of their authority and their history with God, their relationship with God, moving out in front, not ruling over the people with the staff, but moving out in front and worshiping God, like David was the one who had the vision, let's get the ark. David was the one that had the vision. Let's build a house for God. David was the one who was dancing before the Lord with all of his might. David was the one who called all the congregation of Israel and said, we need to get the presence of God back in our history. And that's what Psalm 68 is all about. Psalm 68 was written for the occasion of bringing up the ark, taking the ark from a desolate place into the center of God's people again. And God is raising up people with that hunger and that passion. The tabernacle of David is not about style of worship. It's not about singing this chorus or singing that chorus. It's about a passion for the presence of God. It's a passion for the glory of God. It's a passion for the kingdom reign of God in all the earth. Psalm 68 starts with the priest lifting up the ark on their shoulders and saying, let God arise and all of his enemies be scattered. And it ends with God dwelling in his holy place, reigning over all the earth. That's the goal of all history. History is going somewhere. We're not going around in a circle. We're not just repeating things over and over. We're going somewhere. And the goal of all history is that the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord like the waters cover the sea. That's where we're going. But God is looking for people who will take the ark upon their shoulders, who will bear the burden of the presence of God, who will say yes to Him. I want to read you something out of Psalm 68. This is called the Passion Translation. Our God is a mighty God. This is in the middle of Psalm 68. Our God is a mighty God who saves us over and over. For the Lord Yahweh rescues us from death many times. But He will crush every enemy, shattering their strength. He will make heads roll. I love that. For they refuse to repent of their stubborn, sinful ways. I hear the Lord saying to all the enemies of His people, you'd better come out of your hiding places, all of you that are doing your best to stay away from me. Don't you know there's no place to hide? For my people will be the conquerors. They will soon have you. Now remember, when he's talking about enemies, he's talking about invisible forces. These enemies are common enemies to all mankind. Mankind is not the enemy. The enemy is the devil himself. They will soon have you under their feet. They will crush you until there is nothing left. And now listen to this. O God, my King, your triumphal processions keep moving onward in holiness. You're moving onward toward the holy place. Singers in front, then musicians with the maidens in between striking their tambourines. And they sing, let all God's princely people rejoice. Let all the congregations bring their blessing to God, saying, the Lord of the fountain, the Lord of the fountain of life, the Lord of the fountain of Israel. Look, here I love this part. Look, the favored youth are leading the way. I like this. The favored youth. Kay and I were back in September. We were at a meeting in Germany, in Stuttgart, and at least 10,000 young people gathered together worshiping God. There's an amazing thing going on among young people in this world today. Young people all across the earth are getting on their feet and worshiping God, praising Him with joy and jubilant shouting. There's a spirit of victory coming upon the young people. The favored youth are leading the way. And then listen to this. Princes of praise in their royal robes. Princes of praise. Wow. Princes of praise in their royal robes, and exalted princes are among them, along with princes who have wrestled with God. I like that. You see, because you have the favored youth going out in front. I am not. You won't believe this. I am not among the youth. This year, I turned 31 for the second time. And I'll tell you what, we were at this youth rally, 10,000 people. I was not sad that I was no longer a teenager. I bless the young people. But you know, the youth, the favored youth going out ahead, and the princes of praise in royal robes. But I like this about princes who have wrestled with God, because there's a generation of people that have wrestled with God. There's a generation of saints that have wrestled with God. There's a generation of saints that have gone before and pioneered a way. They've blazed a trail. Broken through. And now it's time for all of God's people to go together, the young and the old and everything in between. One generation. Not young or old, but all together going forward. The older generation blessing the youth. The hearts of the fathers turning to the sons, and the hearts of the sons turning to the fathers. Everyone turning towards each other and moving together. I love this. And then it says, this is what happens. Display your strength, God, and we'll be strong. For your miracles have made us who we are. From your temple, Lord, do it again and parade your mighty power. This is the cry of the hour, that God show forth his mighty hand, that God reveal his strong arm, that he roll up his arm and he come crashing down upon the heads of the enemies. And this is going to happen through a united people who are standing together, who are not just singing and shouting, but are passionate from the heart. They are giving their lives. A people that are there, that come to God and say, here we are. We are not much, but we belong to you. I like that song. I am weak and I am poor, but all I have is yours. I think that says a lot. And I think it's time. God is not looking for great people. God is not looking for strong people. God is looking for people who will give themselves, who are despaired of themselves as of anything coming from themselves. But they don't stop there. Because anyone can do that. But they move on to the next phase and they say, with God, all things are possible. And all things are possible for those who believe. Amen? You gonna say something? This is a tag team.
I don't really have anything new to say. Mike said everything. We're a team. But my voice. We definitely believe that God, definitely believe that God has said to us that it's time for water, that he wants to give this outpouring of the Holy Spirit. I just want to read that from the book of Acts. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out of my Spirit on all flesh. So the last days are from the first coming of Christ till he comes again. And God is continually in that time period pouring out his Spirit. And we really have it in our hearts that God said to us, every generation needs a fresh outpouring. And the book of Acts was actually a 38-year time period. In 38 years, which is about a generation, 40 years, thank you. About a generation, 40 years, they turned their world upside down. And we feel like God said to us, there's a new call for a new generation, and exactly this is God's plan. Gather the people, the hungry people, the people that are available. It's time for God's water. Sing, worship, speak to this well, and God is going to pour out his Spirit. So I just wanted to say what Mike said. This is something that's really, I feel that God is also saying what Mike said. There's a call going out right now, and it's like God is looking for the people that are going to gather. And what Mike said, the people that are there, the people that gather and sing, those are the ones that God is going to pour out his Spirit on. And I always, when I hear this scripture where God says, I have found David, a man after my heart, who will do all my wills. I always get the picture that God was looking and searching in Israel. He needed a king. He needed someone who would do his will, who would understand his heart. He searched the land, and I always get this picture. God was so happy when he said, I found David. I found someone. I found people who will really be available to do my will. I was thinking also, God also said, if he would have found 10 righteous people in Sodom and Gomorrah, he was looking, Abraham was pleading, judgment was coming, it was so wicked, it was so evil, and Abraham started pleading, if we find 50, God said, okay, 45, 35, 25, 20, and it got down, if God would have found 10 righteous people, he could have used those people and save that city. So God today is really looking for people, and I do believe what Mike believes. I feel that there's a real call, and God is saying, do we really want to give ourselves to carry revival? God is looking for people who will say, we'll be committed, we'll be there, we'll be faithful. God wants to pour out his Spirit. God wants to do more. God wants to reach people. God has so much on his heart, but he needs us. And I believe he's really wondering, will we carry revival? Will we carry that glory? Will we be faithful if God pours it out? And somehow we really feel also on this young generation. Been in England now for, this is our second week, but every place we've been, it's like that same call. It's the call, especially we feel the older generation, because we have witnessed revival, actually. There was the charismatic outpouring. We've been in moves of God. We've seen so much glory, the older ones. And we also were young, 18, whatever we were when we got saved, and gave our lives to God, not just for a year, but for a long-term season. And I don't want to say anything, but we did pay a price to carry the glory. We paid a price setting our priorities in our life, that and less. We made choices how we raised our kids. We made choices how we lived our lives. We chose to live simply. We chose to live focused. We chose a certain lifestyle so we would be available to God to really take what He wants to give and be that motley crew that He could use. And so we feel there's a real call for this generation, beyond singing, to really commit also to a faithfulness, to a commitment to each other, to what God is saying, to really stand together. There's no limits to what God can do. And so we really feel tonight, we just want to worship, but also give the opportunity that you, I feel like God is saying He wants to go deeper, a deeper level. Take us into a deeper level, but deeper within us. He wants to just get down really into a deepness, the deep wells to flow, and that we're getting ready and being prepared because we're living. We actually believe that the storms, the end time storms, battles, all kinds of things are going to start coming. We need to be ready. Yeah. We need to be committed.
Amen.
We need to gather, stand together, care for each other, and really let the power of God hit us with a new boldness, a new freedom, new glory. And so it's a call, but you're all there, so you've answered the call. But God is looking for the people that He can use and that will be willing to give their lives. I just want to close with this one scripture. 2 Timothy is one of my favorite books, but 2 Timothy is the last book, or the last letter that the Apostle Paul wrote, and he wrote it right before he was beheaded. He wrote it while he was in prison. And he knew, he said in chapter 4, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand." He knew he was about to be martyred. He was at the departing gate, going to take off to heaven, to his next destination. And he also knew that Timothy was living in really difficult times. In chapter 3, he said, "But know this, that in the last days, perilous, dangerous, difficult, painful, savage, fierce, grievous, hard to deal with times will come." And he knew the generation Timothy was living in. He knew that Timothy was timid and young. He knew that he was ready to depart. And he wanted to really get Timothy to stand in there, to rise up when he left, and to really take the gospel and take his stand and really rise up. So he says, the Apostle Paul says, "I fought the good fight," or "the battle is over." For him, the battle was over. "I have finished the race. I ran to the end, and I have kept the faith. I guarded the treasure of God's word," and the treasure that God gave to him, he guarded it.
Yeah.
Was a treasure.
Right.
And that's what God wants. He wants a generation who'll take
Come
the
on.
Treasure.
Yes.
Who's going to say, "We're going to fight the good fight.
Yes.
We're going to carry on the battle. We're
yes.
going to run the race. We're going to treasure the treasure of God's word and truth." And then he says, "Finally, there's laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me." But he says to Timothy, this is what he says, "But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Jesus Christ. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." And then he says to Timothy, and we really want to believe tonight that all of you are going to rise to the challenge.
Come on.
And he says to Timothy, "I charge you, therefore," he's making his last charge. He's committing something to this young man. He says, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word.
Come on.
Preach the gospel. And God is, this is an incredible moment right now. Because there's all these hungry young people, but I believe that God is saying to all of us, deepen the level of commitment.
Yes, that's right.
Deepen the level of taking what's entrusted to you, see it as a great treasure, and sing to the well. And God is going to give a fresh outpouring of his Holy Spirit's power. Because those 120, those 12 disciples, were also a motley crew without the Holy Spirit. Actually, they all failed at the cross. They were basically all broken people, weak and poor. But they waited, they gathered, they prayed, they sang, and God equipped them for their generation. So let's stand up and see how God wants us to close the service. But just want to ask, begin to pray that God will, that deeper work, that deeper level of commitment in your life. Hallelujah, Father. Oh, God, Lord, God, hallelujah, Lord. Lord, we thank you for ears to hear. Lord, we thank you for eyes to see the hour in which we're living. Lord, we praise you. We want to be here for you in this place, oh, God, gathered together. Oh, God, in faith and expectation, Lord, that your glory and your power is coming on the end time church that gathers before your throne.
Yes, God.
Oh, God and Lord, we each want to deepen our commitment to you, oh, God.
Yes, God.
Lord, we want to go out into the next level of depth with you, oh, God, in our obedience, in our lifestyle. Lord, we ask you, oh, God, to get a hold of our hearts, oh, God. Lord, and we thank you, Lord, that the level of commitment to you and to your body in this place and to your body in this city, Lord. Oh, would deepen, oh God, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father.